We've been answering a very important question, and that is, can God heal us of emotional pain from the past? And as I've said over and over again, for many people, growing up is a difficult and harsh experience. And they come into adulthood with underlying feelings of inadequacy, rejection, and worthlessness. And if you have not had that experience, you have met somebody who has. And we've already looked at 7 ways that God transforms us and builds into us healing of our emotional pain from the past. This morning we come to number 8. He places us into a family of believers where we can love and accept others unconditionally, and we can be loved and accepted by others unconditionally. And that is centered in His command in John 13:34. Jesus said just before He left the earth, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Jesus said, "When I brought you into my kingdom and you were my disciples on earth, I loved you." When they were scared, it was Jesus' hand that reached out to them. When they needed comforting, it was Jesus that said the comforting word, right? When they were confused, Jesus gave them the truth. When they all ran away, when Jesus was arrested, it was Jesus that came back to them on the shore when they were fishing. They didn't come to Him first. Jesus came to them. Jesus gave them their value and worth. Jesus gave them the security and their safety. Jesus gave them their hope. Jesus was there physically to be with them and love them and care for them. And when Jesus gave this command, He wasn't giving them an obligation to now obey. This is where we make our big mistake. We don't understand the Christian life the way that Jesus gave it. What Jesus was doing was He was saying, you are going to have the Holy Spirit in you, but you can't touch the Holy Spirit. He's like the wind, Jesus says in John 3. He cannot be seen, but He can be felt. In the sense of His work around you, as you watch, you could see the Holy Spirit work as you could see the wind blow the leaves. But you can't touch the wind. But you can touch people. And what Jesus said is, Jesus knew they needed physical love. In the sense of they needed somebody to encourage them verbally and bless them. And so what He was saying is, I am now giving you the charge to do that to each other. There was a dad who was talking with his children and teaching them about Jesus, about His love, about God and His love, and all of this protection and security so his kids would learn how to trust God with their needs. One day, it was in the middle of the night, and as there was a great thunderstorm, and the boy called out in fear from his bedroom, and he said, Dad, please come here, I'm scared. And the father responded, Son, God is with you and He loves you. He will help you. And the boy responded, But Dad, I need somebody with skin on. That is so true. We need somebody with skin on. And we may not realize it, but the reason that God gave the command, Christ did, love one another, is it was a command to help each other. And as we help each other, love each other, and encourage each other, we then accomplish a task. And that is the purpose of the body of Christ. You cannot fulfill the Great Commission unless you have been great commissioned. God's plan all along is to bring people into the kingdom of God, to build them up in the faith, to make them healthy, spiritually mature believers, so they can go out and touch others for Christ. And bring them into another environment that is healthy and mature. Is that a good plan? It's a great plan. His plan also is to bring all these people who come to know Christ into a family of people who will say, hey, you got a problem, we'll help you with that problem. You got an issue in your life, we'll help you. You don't have to pretend to have it all together. We know you don't. The Bible says you don't. What we want to do is help you. And there are 3 ways we could show love to each other. Number 1, we can encourage and build up one another in the truth. The church is a family where you train believers. And my job, as well as the other leaders in the church, is to train and equip you to love each other as I train my children to love each brothers and sisters. And I do train and I do teach, but make no mistake, I don't sit them down and say, here are all these rules that you now have to follow. Oh, they think I do, but I don't. We're a family to love each other. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, the Thessalonians were confused all about how the rapture was going to occur, and they thought that people who had died before Christ returned would miss out on the rapture. And so Paul goes through all of this in 4 and 5 to explain all of these great truths to them. And then he says in verse 11, he says this, therefore, take these words, that's the implication I have said, and encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And he reminds them, I know you're doing it, but I'm just going to encourage you to do it more. This, my friends, is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is a place where people come to be encouraged. The family of Christ is a place where believers come to be built up in the faith. That's my whole commitment. That's why I'm in the ministry. To encourage you and build you up in Christ. That's what our body is. And we need encouragement. Issues of depression, discouragement, rejection are daily in many of our lives. Let's not pretend it doesn't exist. It does. The beauty of the whole thing is that because of the things I've been through, I can help you. And because of the things you've been through, you can help me. Isn't that great? We all need encouragement. We all need to build each other up in the faith. And we need to use the scriptures. He says, therefore, take all of these things and encourage one another. That's why the scriptures are so important. Encouraging people with your own human wisdom is not wise. It just breeds more confusion. Confusion is not what we want. What we want is truth. We want wisdom, right? Secondly, we need to carry one another's burdens, and sometimes that means dealing with sin. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Someone caught in a sin is a believer who commits a sin and does not repent. Who is in sin, does not want to repent. And what Paul says is, I want those who are spiritual among you, those who are mature, who have committed themselves to Christ and are living that out in their lives, to come alongside of that erring brother or sister in Christ and to gently and lovingly restore them. And restoring means you have to rebuke, correct, and deal with their sin. With the purpose of restoring. And you know, that's so important because we think love and letting people do whatever they want are the same. And we think, in America, we think that in order to be free and to show unconditional love, you just let people do what they want without any consequences. That's not love. Do I love my children if I just say, hey, do whatever you want? Oh, they'd think it was love. They'd think I was the greatest parent on earth. Until they ended up in a hole somewhere and then they had to call me. A wise and loving parent warns, corrects, and rebukes his children to keep them from trouble, right? Well, you do the same in the body of Christ. But you do it for the purpose not of judgment, but of restoration. To help them get back on the path. For what? For their good and the good of all those around them. And then he says in verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Burden is a heavy load we carry. God never intended for us to carry our burdens alone. You know that? But why do we act like that? God never intended for us to carry our burdens alone. I can't carry my burdens alone. Mine are too great. And I think that we all need each other to help carry each other's burdens. And some of those burdens are a pain from the past. One of the most fruitful things that a person can do in dealing with the past is to find another brother or sister. And I always recommend men find another brother, women find another sister. Somebody that could carry that burden for you and share with them that burden that's deep within your soul if you have one. Let it all out. And let them pray for you and encourage you in it. First go to God and let Him carry it. But then let God use somebody with skin on to help you. And often it's better to pick somebody besides our mate, because there are a lot of marriage issues. And there's a lot of issues that get in the way. And yes, there's a certain burden they have to carry as part of your partner to live with you. But you need someone else who is often not emotionally involved. And for guys, we need another guy. Women need another woman who can feel, you know, a guy who can feel guy pain. You know what I'm saying? Because there is a difference. There really is. And a female who can feel female pain that we can share with our burden. Sometimes the greatest release that we can feel is sharing. And then you set them up so that every so often you can just go and just share all that's on your heart. Isn't that a great idea? We need to do that. Third, we need to accept one another in Christ. Look at Romans 15:7. In Romans 15:7, Paul says, accept one another. He's just been talking about unity and love and encouragement. If you're going to do that, you need to accept one another. Then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. To accept means to welcome you as you are. And then to help you become what God wants you to be. Acceptance means that you don't judge people based on non-biblical criteria. That's the judgment we are not to have. When it says, judge not lest ye be judged, we are to judge people biblically. If there's sin, we are to deal with sin. It's all over the New Testament. In love, restoration. But we are not to judge people based on non-biblical criteria. Because they're socially a little different than us. Because they don't meet the same economic criteria that we like. Because they live outside of our area. Or whatever it is that we tend to be nervous about. We need to accept people for who they are and then help them as they help us as well to become what God wants us to be. That is the issue of acceptance. But there needs to be a situation where not I am going to love that person when they get their act together. No, it's I'm going to love them to help them get their act together. Isn't that great? You know, often when you're involved in any kind of athletics and you get with a lot of people who really love that, and anybody else who's in any kind of hobbies, when they bring a beginner in, they love talking to them about it. They like to help them and build them, show them the right equipment, show them the right tools, show them the right way of doing things, because they love sharing what they have to help them get where they are. That's the way it should be in the body of Christ. You accept a beginner as a beginner with all the rough parts. That's what we need to do. We are to accept people and then help them become what God wants them to be. The problem is we short-circuit, and I just want to briefly mention, this is how we can short-circuit the process of the body of Christ loving each other. Number one, we can isolate ourselves from other believers. This happens so much. If we have come from the traumatic past, we are afraid of people. We're afraid what they're going to do. And I hate to say it, but I've often said this before. The church is the bride of Christ, but it can be a very ugly bride. And that is our problem. And I know that grieves God's heart, because it short-circuits God's plan to build people up. But because of that, what happens is we tend to isolate ourselves. The body of Christ is a body of each local church so that you can get to know each other, so that you can build each other up. We have to be committed to do that. And we have to be committed not to just worship attendance. We need to be committed to be involved in people's lives. Not everybody. I can't be involved in all your lives. The group's too big. But we need to find some kind of small group or ministry team or whatever it is, and we need to get involved with other people in this body if you attend here. That doesn't mean you have to be everybody's best friend. You have to have everybody over for dinner. What it means is you have to care about people. Now, I can only care about some, you can care about some, but we need to. If everybody cares about a few in this congregation, everybody gets touched. Isn't that a great plan? And we need to understand that isolating ourselves, we distance ourselves so we will not be hurt, but we lose out on the love that we need for healing. Secondly, we have to be careful that we are not too sensitive. Often if we have been traumatized in the past, we have very thin skin, and so one word and we're hurt, I'm never going back to that church. Well, folks, if that's all it takes, pretty soon you're going to be going to no church. I've pastored in some form 5 churches, and I've found Christians are all the same. Sinners saved by grace, with warts and all. But there's a lot of people I've met in every church who love people. Yeah, grumpy ones too. I don't worry about them. But there are people, and we have to be careful that we extend grace and realize that sometimes people might pass you by and not notice you. Or maybe they were grumpy on a day or something. You've never done it? We want people to be gracious to us, but then we're not gracious toward them. 3, we tend to focus on our own needs rather than on loving others. We have to be careful. There's a trap. Those of us who have been traumatized in the past can become self-seekers without realizing it. We become consumed by our own needs. We are so needy that we become consumed by it, and we say, everybody needs to love me. But the reality is this. What God says is this. No, that's not the way it is. I gave you the command to love others, and I gave others the command to love you. And I'm not supposed to love myself. I'm supposed to love you. And you're not supposed to love yourselves. You're supposed to love me. And we love each other. And when we do that, we focus on each other. And when we do that, God's plan works perfectly. Because the issue is, the more we focus on ourselves, the uglier we get. You want to know why? Because the fleshly nature, it's ugly. Paul said it this way, there's no good thing in me, but I have Christ. Now that doesn't mean we don't have to do some self-work. I've had to work through many issues in my life, and I did have to examine myself, examine my heart, examine what I'm supposed to do, but that cannot become the preoccupation. Do your work. Get some issues taken care of, and then move on. Focus outward. And what I do is I pace myself. Focus inward, then I focus outward. Inward, outward. Inward, some in, mostly out. My job is to love others. And you know what else I found? The more I love others, the less dark my own life seems. That's God's plan. The plan is everybody focuses on everybody else. And then we all get loved. Focus on yourself, you'll never be loved. And what we do is we short-circuit God's plan because we don't do that. And we miss out on all the joy, the love, the grace that we need over a lifetime. Put us into an unconditional family, and then what happens? We have the ultimate support group. But you need to reach out. We have to put effort out to be that kind of body, to love each other as Christ desires.